Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today we're going to talk about galls. You know, those funny growths that come out of leaves and twigs and stuff. Well, our text is Isaiah 65:22. They shall not build and another inhabit. Mine elect will long enjoy the work of their hands. There are a number of insect larvae that take advantage of the growing power of plants by injecting fluids into the living tissues, which causes the plant stem or leaf to grow in distorted ways. These abnormal growths are called galls, G-A-L-L-S. They provide homes and food for the young insect. Tissues near where the fluid is injected are affected more than the more distant ones, resulting in rapid cell growth nearby that is used for food and a hard shell farther away that provides shelter. Galls may be found on various parts of a plant, on leaves, branches, roots, flowers, fruits, and even on the seeds. Those created by the same species of insect are identical in form and occur on the same part of a plant. Thus, you can identify the maker of a gall by where it is found on the plant and what it looks like. Closely related insects may produce the same kind of gall, but they use different plants. The shapes of galls are remarkably varied. Some look like blisters and others resemble figs. Others are like ice-like spots, and still others are spiny or even furry. Spherical woolly galls are found on oak leaves. Oaks are also the host of the oak apple galls, which are rather large and brown. An interesting fact is that many insects lay their eggs in galls made by other species, so the inhabitants of a gall may not be the builders. A pine cone gall has been known to contain 31 species of insects in addition to its builder. That is quite an apartment house. I wonder how all the inhabitants get along. The dwellers of the new earth will not have the problem that the maker of the pine cone gall has. An individual builder will not have to be concerned about having other people deciding to move in with him. Each will build his own home and live happily with his neighbors. I know I'm looking forward to that day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just long for your soon return. In the meantime, I know you have commanded us to inhabit and to learn and to spread the good news of the soon return of you, the good news of your salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you be with our show today, that the words we speak will be your words. And we thank you, knowing that you're leading us all the way. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. I mean, probably a more sophisticated name would be experiential learning. But this is where I take the idea from the Windows on God's World devotion by James Tucker, and I look for interesting videos and arts and crafts that you could connect with it. And then I put them in my Pinterest site, and you can go there and look on my board called Windows on God's World, and you'll see them there. My Pinterest call letters are Pinterest at MRGamblin2. That's the number 2. So we're going to talk about, in our arts and crafts, videos about oak galls. That's very fascinating. And a video about how galls are made. And then I looked all over for a lesson plan on dissecting galls, and I could not find one. So I recommend that you make up your own. Put on Pinterest, so I can get it and put it on my board. But we dissect all sorts of things. We dissect frogs and worms, and we dissect flowers. We dissect owl pellets. We need to dissect galls. They're so interesting. And just like our devotional said, there's sometimes many, many insects inside of one gall. So make that something that you do for biology. Dissect a gall. Whatever you do, create that curiosity, that opportunity for curiosity for your kids, and have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. All week we're going to talk about what's out there for different languages. You know, I have a heart for high schoolers because I recognize that we're not so intimidated at homeschooling our elementary kids, but when they start getting into high school and there are certain requirements, we want them to be ready for life. And at the same time, we have discovered that once you make a commitment to homeschool your high school child, you need to stick with that commitment because you'll be duplicating a lot of effort. Well, we are going to talk about Spanish. That is what we're going to talk about today, and tomorrow we'll pick a different language. And I have done a couple of languages. I'm certified in teaching Spanish on the high school level, but I don't have it down fluently anymore just from lack of practice. And so I use Rosetta Stone for homeschoolers. Even though it costs, it is worth it. And they do have a free trial that you can start your homeschool program, Rosetta Stone Homeschool. You can get your kids learning right away, and you can know if that's for you. I have used this, and I highly recommend it. Anything with Rosetta Stone really does challenge. It increases, you know, brain power just learning a language. We know it's important in that respect that students who learn another language access a certain part of their brain that benefits their whole brain. We also know that when you take a language, it improves your grades in math, English, and standardized testing, such as SATs or ACTs. And then it also gives you a perspective and an appreciation of a different culture. So as you're thinking about language, you cannot start too early. For high school, they have to have 2 years of it. But why not start sooner than that? Because after all, we want them to become fluent in another language. Well, that concludes Curriculum Corner. Questions parents ask. Well, this is coming from a mom who has homeschooled for 17 years. Two of her kids are out of the home, and they love children. So when someone approached them about adopting these two older children, they went ahead and did it. And we all know, I know I've done shows on it, how difficult that is. So they have 11 kids, and two of them are foster, getting ready to adopt. And they are hitting some really hard times. Rebelliousness, loneliness. Can you imagine in a large family feeling lonely? But some of their older children do feel lonely. And her husband's a pastor, so, you know, he's looked at in the leadership position. And sometimes I think that even adds pressure to the kids to behave a certain way and to act and do and to be, you know, perfect, which is a lot of pressure on anybody to try to be perfect. And she's just asking, you know, for any ideas. The church is a Reformed church, very conservative. No other young families are in it but theirs and their children. And my heart goes out to her because even though there are only 4 children in my family, I experienced loneliness. By the 10th grade, I was really lonely. And I wanted to be with other kids and I wanted to make friends. In addition, they don't believe in allowing their children to have access to the internet so they can't make friends that way. Otherwise, I would recommend that she consider joining my virtual high school classroom where we have all these sincere Christian kids just virtually connecting with one another. But, you know, I understand a lot of families don't want their kids getting into that virtual world because there's certainly opportunity for bad experiences to happen. So my heart goes out. We'll be praying for you. I don't have a ready answer because I know God leads our children on their own paths as well. So your child might, you might want to look into the local Christian school, or you might allow them to do some virtual connecting with something like Homeschool Companions Virtual High School Classroom. So we'll just be praying for you. That is a hard call to make. Well, our guest today in the second half of the show is Dr. Nicole Davis. She has a passion for family unity, women's empowerment, and leadership development. She and her husband, Tony, have been married for 3 decades. I so enjoyed interviewing her. She is the mother of 2 adult sons, and she just is going to talk to us about Eve. Where are you? You'll see what I mean. I just hope you'll come back for the second half. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Nicole Davis, and she has a passion for family, women, and leadership development. She and her husband, Tony, have been married for more than 30 years. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
She is the mother of 2 adult sons, and she's also an ordained pastor, so we could call her Pastor Davis or Pastor Nicole. But for this interview, we'll just be Nicole, and I'll just be Rose. Dr. Davis is a Navy veteran, a mediator and harassment prevention expert, and co-founder of Empower to Engage. And that is the website that we'd encourage you to go to, empowertoengage.com or evewherearyou.com, which is the title of the book we're going to be talking about. She and her husband have also co-authored books on parenting, marriage and leadership development. And you look so young. It's hard to believe that you've been married for 30 years and you have 2 adult sons.
That's right.
So when are you going to become a grandma?
You know, that is taboo. We cannot talk about that. Our sons don't want to hear it. They are trying to live their own lives right
yes.
now. And so,
well, good for them. They'll have plenty of time.
Yes.
And I always say it's better to fully mature and enjoy the life as a single person, and just there'll be enough. I mean, it's hard work, isn't it?
And you know, if we were fully mature more often when we got married, perhaps we'd have better outcomes if our husbands
yes.
were or wives were fully clear about who they are,
yes.
what they like, where they're going. They would bring something more into the relationship.
Yeah, instead we come into those relationships when we're young with lots of needs. We haven't finished growing up ourselves.
Yep.
And so were you fully matured when you got married to Tony?
Absolutely not. I wasn't. When we got married, I was a Christian. We met in the military. We're both prior Navy. And we met in Iceland. And we tell the story, we met, got engaged, and married all in the same year.
Wow.
And that was 31 years ago. But that was God.
Yeah.
Because we had submitted to God's will. God showed me that Tony was the man I needed, not necessarily the man I wanted. Because we don't know those kind of things. You know, we are sight stimulated or mm-hmm. the way someone makes us feel. But God was showing me something very differently, and I yielded to that. And when we do that, it works 100% of the time when we do it God's way.
Yeah. You know, the other day my husband said to me, I'm glad you've never divorced me. Which seemed kind of out of the blue. And, you know, I said, well, I never thought of divorcing you, you know. But he had gone through a time in his life where he suffered clinical depression. And I was very long-suffering and really patient about it. Finally, after a few years, you know, I stopped my little foot and I said, we need to help, you know, we need help. And it turned our lives around. And I felt bad then that I had been so long suffering instead of saying, look it, we need help. And that happens, you know, in a marriage over time. There's times when it says, you know, for better or for worse, yes. There are going to be those worst times.
Yes. You're absolutely right. And I think a lot of our ability to weather those storms comes from the fact that I have an undergrad in social work. And so along with reading the Bible, I was also learning human development and the relational dynamics that are important to be in place in relationships. And having that education really made the difference in how we weathered storms and conflicts. I'm a certified mediator, so I'm also learning the tools of how to deal with issues. Most people don't do that. They Yes. just do what they've been taught, what they've seen, what they've learned with those that are in their family or with their friends. But if we take another step and get the information we need so that we can be better parents, so that we can be better spouses, it makes all the difference in addition to the Bible and prayer.
Yeah.
It all works together.
Now, has your husband, and you can, any question I ask you, you can say, you know, plead the fifth.
Okay.
But has your husband ever said, don't use that mediation stuff on me? Or has he ever been resentful knowing that you're kind of using what you've learned to negotiate with him?
He may not have said it outright, but you know, it's the eye rolling and like, oh, here she goes.
Yeah, because my husband sometimes, you know, he knows I'm a teacher and I'm managing kids and other teachers, you know, and he'll go, I'm not one of your teachers, you know.
One of your students, yes.
Not your staff, you know. Anyway, we're talking about a book.
We're talking about life.
Yes, we're getting to the topic at hand, which is Eve, where are you? Confronting toxic practices against the advancement of women. And of course, you know, we both have our PhDs. I've hit so much resentment from men because of that, you know. And I just wondered if you had, you know, why did you write this book?
That's a wonderful question. In writing the book, so the resistance I've been experiencing was more for the ordination, not for the education. And so in writing this book, it came on the heels of me completing my doctorate, which is in conflict analysis and resolution. And I explained this in the introduction, but it was during a time where I was seeking God about what should my topic be. I love leadership and being prior military and spending time working in the federal government and working with organizations and their leaders about how they do team together and how to grow their departments. I wanted to focus on that to make that work better within the government. But this one beautiful chance day when I'm having a conversation with my son about something he had done and going to church and figuring out whether he wanted to be a member there, he learned that this particular church, which is where we were members at the time, did not support ordinations for women in the role of elders or pastors. They could be ministers, they could be over auxiliary groups and that type of thing, but they could not have a voting right, or they could not have a title that would put them in a position over men per se.
Yes.
And when he learned that, he couldn't understand why we would be okay with that. You and Dad are okay with that? That was the question he asked.
And what an insightful question.
Yes, because of how he had been raised.
Yeah.
He had only seen his dad and I doing things together. He had always seen me pursuing whatever I wanted, his dad doing the same, and us working together in raising them. So to be somewhere where that just wasn't the norm, and we knew that wasn't the norm, he couldn't, it didn't make sense in his mind.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord used that for me to see that he needed me to do a little more than what I had been doing. Now, I was working with women. I was over the director's ministry. I was director over the women's ministry at the time. But I didn't have a heart cry or a passion for the plight of women, as I say. But in that moment, he gave it to me. Because although I felt confident and very clear about my purpose, there are many women who do not. They not only don't have a clear purpose for their lives, they struggle with their identity, and they're attending churches that don't make it any easier for them to figure out who they are. And if they, by chance, happen to feel a call, that's even worse. Mm-hmm. Because if they're attending somewhere where that church doesn't support women in leadership, then the woman doesn't know what to do with that.
Yes.
Most of them don't know I can just leave and go somewhere else, or, you know, you are the church actually, and your life is ministry, whether you're in the church or the marketplace. They don't get that. So the Eve, Where Are You? Came from the dissertation that I wrote, which was Women in Ministry, How Conflict Between God's Purpose and Church Doctrine Impacts the Efficacy of Female Church Leaders. And I had...
Amen. But I feel called. You know, I feel like I am already a minister.
Exactly. Because the work that you do,
yes,
it honors God. You are speaking about things that are kingdom minded. So why are you not?
And what's conflicting is that we grow up thinking that the leadership that is over the church is like God's voice.
Yes.
It's God. So if that church says women can't be ordained.
Yes.
So that being said, then in your book, did you cover the biblical verses that are usually used against women ordination or women's even speaking in the church?
Absolutely, I did. As a matter of fact, because of the research that I did for the dissertation, where I got a chance to talk to pastors, male and female, and church leaders of various levels, and learn what their thoughts and ideas were from a scriptural perspective, as well as how they were raised and what they learned, that information was so powerful to me. It was like, okay, you can't leave this information in this dissertation where it's in a library somewhere.
So we're going to hear about the research, the results of your research in part two of our interview. It's gone so fast. Thank you so much, Dr. Davis, for being with us. We're talking about her book, Eve, Where Are You? And I hope you come back tomorrow for part two, because she's going to share with us some of those the answers to those difficult verses that speak very prejudicial to the fact that women aren't even supposed to speak in church, their head's supposed to be covered, you know, they're not supposed to be ordained, and whatever's used against us. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, so come back. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.